That's it. Got 2 minutes. Wanted to say thank you.
I'm gonna come by and I'm gonna try to see her. Monday I'm gonna be gone all day.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, Monday and Tuesday I'm at the fair, so I'm somebody visiting. I mean, staying with her. Busy, okay.
I love your hair.
Oh, thanks. Hi, Micah. Hi, good morning.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
How'd it go?
It was just a busy day. I had to work, so. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I never knew.
No, we don't want to. Bryce is bringing it. Bryce.
Matthew, wait.
So good morning, Life Change.
Good morning, Matt.
How are we all doing this morning?
Woohoo!
Excellent. Are we all awake?
Yeah, almost.
Okay. Almost?
Almost.
Okay, we're still working on a few things then.
Yep.
I just want to thank our visitors for coming here today.
Yeah.
It's good to have you with us. And
Bob.
Pastor Bob.
Yes,
Bob, Bob.
I know. I was trying to think of something funny and witty to say, but my brain's dead. It's good to have you back with us again.
Yes.
Thank you for visiting from Montana. Mm-hmm. So we got a few announcements here today. First, we still need children's workers here for the church at the church during service to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. Second. Last week we talked about the Tillamook County Fair has their child evangelism booth. And this is the last day for the sign-up. There's a sheet that shows the available times and days in the back that Jill's holding up there. That's back there. If you want to do it, just see what's available. And then if you could give Ellen a call. Her name and number is on the sheet. And I just want to thank Sandy and Kelly for signing up for it already. And I want to thank Mike and Sandra. I know that you guys had to drop out because of your father's funeral, but thank you for at least signing up. And we need more of those if we can to fill all the time slots because, again, you're trying to reach the little kids. And we know that in the public school system, God is not part of that anymore. So this is like our chance to actually reach them and to teach them about God and to plant some seeds. Because we know that once seeds are planted, God usually does a good job of growing them up. Far better than anything we could ever do.
Yeah.
So another thing today is we're going to pray for Neatart's Friends Church, Pastor Aaron and Molly Carlson, and their leadership team. Mm-hmm. So if you would, just bow your heads and join me in prayer. So Holy Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful place that you have built up, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather here to worship you, praise you, pray to you. For Lord, you are the center of everything. You make all things work for good for those who believe. And Lord, we just want to lift up our friends, the brothers and sisters at Neatart's Friends Church.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for all the work that you've done there.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've showered them. Lord, we thank you for bringing Pastor Aaron and Molly Carlson in.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for walking with them in their lives. We thank you for guiding them in all that they've done in your name.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we just ask you to please, please continue to bless them. Please continue to guide them. Lord, please help them to be wonderful shepherds to that flock.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we also want to lift up the Methodist Church. Lord, we know that they're searching for a new ministry. And Lord, we just ask you to please touch that committee and Lord, lead them to the person that you want to be leading them into the church. For Lord, you are great and good in everything.
Yes.
You are perfect. And Lord, we just come before you and ask you to help us to let your will be done in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to please be with us in our worship today. And Lord, we set our hearts and our minds on you.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ask these things in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
All right, so let's stand up and worship the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, its love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Setting sun, his love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is strong, forever God is
Did you feel the people?
people tremble. Did you hear the singers roar? Then the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God, you're moving. A mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice. Did you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness? And will it be that God, you're moving? A time of jubilee is coming. When young and old will turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
Fling wide you heavenly gates. Prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streams songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streams resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope and songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice. Did you hear the darkness tremble when all the saints join with one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo! You go, God.
Our full attention. the final say. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over even the coldest grave. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're working. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
One more time.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. 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 Holy, you are holy. Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity I'm going to praise him, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel. Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity I'm going to praise him, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity. I'm going to praise him, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity.
Oh, praise you, Lord. We just bring you, offer you all of our thanksgiving and praise to you today. We lift you up. You are high and exalted in this church. For each one of us, you are the great I am, the Holy One of Israel. You are the only God, only Creator God. And we praise you and thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing, what you're going to do. All your words prophesied in your word, and they are coming. They are happening.
Yes, they are.
It's not a dream coming true. It is truth spoken for millennia coming to pass.
Yeah.
And your truth is alive and working in our lives, Lord. And we praise you. Lord, prepare our hearts as we receive your message that Pastor has for us today, that you have for us today. Let it resonate in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Speak to each one as we have need. To teach us and grow us and shape us and mold us. And as we carry it out into the world, let people be receptive of your message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, thank you, worship team. We you really ministered to my heart today. Thank you. Many of you have probably heard that Joyce Hughes went on to be with the Lord this week. And she's my daughter's mother-in-law. And so it's pretty kind of sad today. And so just want you to know that it's good to go through things like this because we can have empathy toward other people who have loss as well. And so before we begin, I'd like to just stand together. Let's have prayer with one another. If you would, reach across the aisle. If you have a special need this morning, would you just maybe squeeze the hand of the person beside you, or even whisper in their ear the special need that you have? And this is a house of miracles. And so if you need a miracle, then God can meet that. God can address those issues. Yeah. It's good to have our friends from Neat Arts this morning. John, Joanne, and I've forgotten your name again. Lois. I wanted to call your name, but that wasn't the right one. And so... Lois, good to have you. Would you scoot in and grab Lois's hand there, please? Thank you. And grab Bob's hand. He's okay. He'll be okay. All right. So I'm gonna just give you some silent time to pray and prepare your heart, and then I will close in prayer. Lord, it's good to be in your house today. And Lord, it's just great to be with brothers and sisters in Christ who love us and care about us and can empathize with us when we go through difficulties. Lord, I am so glad that we have you. I am so glad we have your promises. I am so glad that we can depend upon you when we're at a loss. I'm glad that you're dependable. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning and we just offer ourselves to you. God, I pray that you would be with each person here, that you open our heart to receive the things that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us to be able to accomplish the things that you've asked us to accomplish. Lord, you've created each one of us for a special purpose. I pray that we would move into that purpose and be able to complete the work that you've assigned us today. God, I thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives and in each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to manifest yourself in our midst. Lord, you know the special needs of each person here. You know the special needs of myself. And so, Lord, we ask that you meet those needs today, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship, whether it's heartbroken, whatever it may be, I pray you meet those needs. And God, help us glean from you what you have for us. And God, I've prepared a message, but I'm willing to go a different direction if that's what you want me to do. And so, Lord, we just exalt you as the Lord and Savior and Creator and life giver. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate your prayers. I was at a men's retreat that I was speaking at this last week over in Hell's Canyon and Oxbow, and actually things went really well. I had some tremendous decisions for Christ during that time, and I caught a lot of fish, and so that was had a great time. Appreciate your prayers. Matt, I appreciate you filling in for me last week. Thank you very much. You know, there was a time when I didn't have someone I can just call on and trust that they would bring the Word of God. And Matt, I appreciate you from the depths of my heart. Thank you very much. Yeah. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. Actually, we're going to start looking at 1 John. First John, maybe the Lord will allow us to go through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They're very short books. As a matter of fact, I'd encourage you this week to maybe even read through 1st John. The first chapter is only 10 verses long. We're going to try to get through the first chapter today, okay? And I've entitled this chapter Treasure Trove because there's so much in this chapter that is just, it's like, have you ever gone maybe hiking or something, you found something very valuable to you? You were able to pick it up, and old Mike goes out on the beach about every day. He picks up agates. And usually he sends me a picture. I found this today. It's a great treasure. Okay, great treasure. I think Sandra's getting a little tired of his treasures. But you know, it's exciting when we find something of worth. Well, when we're going into 1 John, you're going to discover there's a lot of things that are tremendous worth to you. And so we're going to uncover some of those things today and in the weeks to follow. Okay, so that's where we are in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 is different than the Gospel of John. And so it's near the end of the book, near Revelation, actually. And see, John was the author of this letter. And he was one of Jesus' disciples. He was very close, actually, to Jesus in relationship. Of individuals that were the closest, it was Peter, James, and John. John was one of the closest disciples. As a matter of fact, John was called, he called himself the one whom Jesus loved. Because it was like to him, it says, he's kind of like most of us. Why would God love me? Right? But John was like, he does love me. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, he loved them all. Okay? But if you read in his book, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, he talks about himself, the one whom Jesus loved. And I love that. I love that. And as you go through his gospel and his writings, it's almost like the love just oozes out of the letter. And we can see there's something about John that maybe his interaction with Jesus was a little different than the other disciples. You may have recalled the account where Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching to a crowd, and the crowd is pressing in. Just to the point that he's almost pushing him into the water, okay? So he turns around, and there's two boats sitting there. One boat belongs to Simon Peter. One boat belongs to Zebedee, which is John and James' dad. And he turns to Peter. Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, maybe he didn't call his name. He said, hey, guy, would you mind me getting in your boat and taking out a little place? Because, man, they're just about to push me into the water. And Peter says, yeah, get in. So Jesus gets in the boat with Peter, and Peter rows out a little bit, and Jesus completes his message. He started a message. It got interrupted because they were about to push him in the sea. And he got in the boat and started preaching and finished his message. And then he tells Peter, he said, Peter, row out a little further into the deep and cast down your net. Now, John's watching, right? They're partners. John and Peter are partners in fishing expedition. And John and James are over here mending their nets with dad. And so here goes Peter. He said, sir, we fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. And I'm thinking in the back of his mind, and John too, what does a rabbi know about fishing? Okay, yeah, I mean, that's what I'd be thinking. And so, but if you tell me to, I'm going to do it. So they row out a little bit further, out to the deep where the fish are. They're not usually around the shallows, they're in the deep. And so they row out the deep. He cast in the net, and there were so many fish, he couldn't bring them in. So he calls John and James over and says, help me. Help me. We got a lot of fish here. And scripture says that there were so many fish, it filled both boats to the point that they were almost to sink. And Jesus says to Peter, "Hey, follow me." And Peter drops his net, drops his boat, and okay. Then he turns to James and John and he says, "You guys follow me too." And so they turn to Dad, and Dad says, "Go on! Go with him!" There was something miraculous about Jesus. Zebedee recognized it. John and James recognized it. Peter recognized it. There was something different about Jesus. He had power that no one else had. Even the scribes and Pharisees realized that there was a power when he spoke that was different. The people realized that when Jesus spoke, it was different than even when the scribes and Pharisees spoke. There was something about Jesus. There was an anointing upon him that was not upon anyone else. And so Peter, James, and John took off. As we start this passage, you're going to find out that this passage starts out with, in the beginning, from the beginning of his ministry, I saw him. I heard him. I saw the things he did. I was even able to touch him. So let's stand together for the reading of God's word. And we're going to read all 10 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You may be seated. So John starts this letter in a similar way that he started his letter in the Gospel of John. He says, in the beginning, in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Listen to verse 4. Getting ahead of myself. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Did you know that Jesus is the word of life? He's the one who brings life. And so this is our first treasure that we find in this passage of scripture is life. Treasure number one is life. I'll talk about two different kinds of life. One is eternal life. One is eternal life. John 3:15 says, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Did you know that eternal life can only be found in Jesus Christ? I heard someone give an illustration one time of what eternal life looked like to them. He said, let's just pretend that there's a bird that can fly from the earth to the moon, and it takes him 1,000 years to make that journey. And so every 1,000 years, he picks up a piece of sand or a piece of dirt, and he deposits it up on the moon. Every 1,000 years. By the time the earth was completely gone and everything deposited on the moon, eternity would just have begun. That's just kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? Eternal life. Eternal life. Did you know that God created you with an eternal spirit? Your spirit will never die. Your body will die, but your spirit will never die. And so what we find in Scripture is that when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that He gives us eternal life. We do not have eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. There's no way we can have a life outside of eternal life of Jesus Christ. We cannot have eternal life. So, eternity is a long, long time. And we're going to spend it somewhere. We're either going to spend it in heaven, or we're going to spend it in hell, eternally separated from God. Okay. But the choice is ours. God has already chosen. And so, we have to make the choice of where we're going to spend eternity. And the only way we're going to do that is if we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The second life I want to talk to you about is the abundant life. Jesus made this statement in John 10:10. The thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Vines uses these words, abundance. Abundant, abundantly, abound, advantage, exceed, exceedingly, more, superfluous, vehemently. So when we're talking about an abundant life, we're talking about a life more than you can even imagine. Super life. Super abundant. Heaped on. Greater than you can ever imagine. In verse 3, it says, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Treasure number 2 is fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with His people. So there's a word in this fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. And it can mean fellowship, it can mean communion, partnership. And so what John is telling us is that we're able to experience fellowship with God Almighty. And this is the desire of God Himself, to fellowship with us. Again, you know, and I think about this, I meditate on it, and it's like, it just blows me away. That God Almighty wants to have a fellowship with me. God Almighty wants to come beside me and commune with me and partner with me. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 3:20, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. So His desire is to fellowship with us. And probably more than we want to fellowship with Him. He's knocking. He's waiting. He's patient. Imagine, if you will, every morning you get up, Jesus is waiting to meet with you. You get up in the morning, He's like, I don't know where your favorite chair is to sit in. I don't know where you do your Bible study. I don't know where you do your prayer time. But imagine, if you will, Jesus being there waiting for you. Waiting to have fellowship. Waiting to commune with you. Waiting to partner with you. I mean, that's a wonderful image. But that's an image that is accurate. He's waiting for us. He wants to commune with us. In the New Testament times, when and it's the same today, when we have a meal together, it's kind of like you get to know each other more, right? You get to know each other a little better. You get to know each other in a different level. When you have a meal together and you commune with one another and you fellowship with one another, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in to you, and I will have a meal with you, and we can enjoy one another's fellowship." That's the kind of image Jesus wants to impress upon our hearts and upon our minds, that he's wanting that time with us. He wants to meet with us. He desires to be with us, to commune with us, to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us. That's his desire, but we will never experience that if we don't spend time with him, if we don't fellowship with him, if we don't koinonia with him. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So John says that we can have fellowship with him, but he also says that you can have fellowship with us. Last week you had a potluck, right? You have a potluck meal? Okay. And in New Testament times, they would call it a fellowship meal. They would call it a koinonia meal. And so what would happen was they would have a potluck. But it was more than just about eating food. It was more about participating in one another's life. It's more about interacting with one another and getting to know each other on a deeper level. Some of you will not stick around because you don't want anybody to know you at a deeper level. All you want is for them to know you on a surface level. And so you run and hide. But how are we going to koinonia with you if you don't allow us to? The Tuesday, Wednesday evening Bible study. They change the days. Have a koinonia meal together before the Bible study. And it's a time when they come together, they fellowship with one another, they get to know each other on a deeper level and talk about things that are on their heart, talk about things that are on their mind, and are able to fellowship as friends, not just as acquaintances, but as friends. And that's what we as a church need to do for one another. Not just know each other on a surface level, but get to the point where we're trusting enough of one another to be able to interact with one another on a deeper level. Jesus said, "I want to come and have a meal with you," not because he's hungry, but he desires to have a relationship with you. In verse 5 and 6, it says, "This is the message which you've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So God is light. Say to your neighbor, "God is light." The word is light. The word is life. The word is truth. Jesus is the light of life. So here's the deal. When we speak truth, light shines. Light shines out of the darkness. Jesus was called the light of the world because the words that he spoke, he was called that for many reasons, but one of the reasons was because of the words that he spoke was truth. And when people received it, there was a light that entered their heart. And when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's a light that enters your heart because he is truth. I remember when I received Christ when I was about 22 years old, It was like the colors were different. That's what happened. It was almost like my eyes were open and I saw things in a different way. Because everything looked a little brighter. Everything was not as dark as it once was. Had an opportunity this week to talk to a fella who carried a lot of bitterness and anger and resentment. And it was really, really, really hard for him to release that. I mean, it was horrific what had taken place in his life. And I understood and could empathize with him the pain that he's experienced. And it was really hard for him to cross that hurdle. And so, but through a process of working with him and talking to him, in about 30 minutes, he had gone from depression and anger and hatred and bitterness to joy and brightness and light in his life. It's amazing how God does that. When we receive truth, he said it was almost like a weight. It wasn't just a weight, it was an icky weight, he called it. An icky weight had been removed from him. And he could see things a little brighter. His demeanor changed. And he says, so he's in the program. His wife is also in a program. Same program, different locations. And he said, when I talk to her on the phone, I know that she's going to hear a difference in my voice. Because light had entered in. Light had entered in. Anytime we receive truth, light's going to enter. Jesus is truth. Jesus is life. Jesus is light. So scripture says that God is light and there is no darkness in him. He cannot lie. Lies are what brings darkness. And I've said this a couple of weeks ago, and I need you to understand it. Anytime we receive lies in our heart, you're going to receive darkness. And there are people who do not want to believe truth. There are people who do not want to walk in truth. And so they're walking in darkness, and they walk in depression, and they walk in sorrow, and they walk in grief because they're not willing to receive the light. Sure, we need to go through grief. There are times in our lives we have to go through grief. God expects us to grieve. Jesus grieved. God grieved. Did you know God grieved? He said, I have grieved that I have made man. In Genesis. Because the only thing they did was evil. Every thought in their head was evil. Can you imagine living in a culture like that? Every thought that ever came into a person's mind was evil. And I guarantee you, if you think evil, you're going to act evil. And so the actions just in Noah's day was horrendous, horrendous, horrendous. And God said, it grieves me that I've even created man. I don't want to grieve God that he created me. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we walk in lies, we walk in ways that are contrary to the ways of God, then guess what? We're lying. We're only fooling ourselves, right? We're not fooling anybody else. Have any of you ever known individuals say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they walk like the devil? Yeah. So who are they fooling? Only fooling themselves. Because scripture says, if you have the light, you're going to walk in the light. If you have Jesus, you're going to follow Jesus. Don't fool yourself. Continue walking in the light. So that passage of scripture in verse 5 says, if we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Did you know you have to practice the truth? So what are you practicing? So whatever you're practicing, that's what you get better at. Some people embrace lies, walk in darkness, and wonder why they don't have joy. If you want joy, you must walk in the light. And that's treasure number three, is joy. Next week, I'm going to turn that air conditioner up or down. I wonder sometimes if we open the windows and let the heat in and let the air out. But anyway, next week, we're going to turn that thing down. It looks like it's turned off. And I don't know how that happened. You know, they're pointing at you, Matt. So, it's hot up here. So third treasure is joy. In verse 4, it says, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." So one of the, John said, one of the reasons I'm writing to you this book is that your joy may be full. Okay? He says, I write these things to you so that your joy might be full. He says, I want you to be full of joy. I want you to be filled with joy. And that's why I'm writing this to you, so that you can walk in joy, so you can experience joy, so that you don't have to experience a drudgery of life, that you can experience a joy-filled life. I like that. And so what he's saying is, if we put these things into practice that he's going to be sharing with us, you can actually have a joy-filled life. Praise the Lord. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how full of joy is your life? 11. Yeah. Sandy, yeah. But maybe a 13, yeah. So you have to practice truth in order to have a joy-filled life. He says, I'm writing these things to you so that you can have joy in your life. Did you know that John had not always been joy-filled? As a matter of fact, one day, as they were going to Samaria, the Samaritans would not receive Jesus. And it's like John and James were like, what? They're not going to receive us? Jesus, call down fire from heaven and burn it up. And John and Jesus, you know what their nicknames were? Sons of thunder. Not sons of joy. Sons of thunder. But there was something that happened in John's life that transformed him from a son of thunder to a son of joy. And he can do the same for us as well. He says, I'm writing these things to you so that your joy may be full. And I've shared this passage before, but I got to share it again because it's so meaningful to me. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about, well, let me just read it. It's talking about Jesus. It says, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Who's he talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. He said, there is an anointing of joy on you, Jesus. Do you know why people were attracted to Jesus? Not only did he speak truth, but there was a joy that filled his life. Matt, you're really, I'm having a, it's distracting. Sorry. So if you are joy-filled, then there's something that attracts other people. Have you ever been attracted to someone just full of joy? Yeah, there's something about them. And it's not a fake joy, right? It's not a fake it till you make it. Oh, everything's wonderful. Yeah. Praise the Lord. No, there's something in their heart that there's just a joy that bubbles up from them. And it has to do with walking in righteousness. It has to do with walking in truth. Jesus was the most joy-filled person on earth. And he still is the most joy-filled person there ever was. He says in this passage of Scripture, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. Right? Treasure number three is joy. Treasure number four are sins removed. Verse 7 through 10, but if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Ooh. Whoa. Is that a treasure or what? You know, there are a lot of ways people try to absolve their sins and try to get rid of sin. But the blood of Jesus is the only one who can do that. You probably heard of Martin Luther, 16th century German priest. In 1505, so he grew up in a poor home. His dad wanted better for him. His dad was a miner. And so he wanted something better for Martin Luther. And so he sent Martin Luther to school to become a lawyer. Well, in 1505, Martin Luther was out on the road, and there was a horrific thunderstorm that came up. And he thought he was going to die. And so he made a vow to St. Anna. And St. Anna is Mary's mom, evidently. Okay? Made a vow to St. Anna, if you will let me live, I'll join a monastery. And thunderstorm passed. Martin Luther lived. And he's like, oh, now what do I do? My dad wants to become a lawyer. And I made a vow to St. Anna, I better keep my vow. Mom and Dad are going to be upset, but I better keep my vow. And one of the reasons he went into the monastery because he did not have security in his heart about where he would spend eternity. And he thought, well, if I join the monastery, certainly that will give me that security. Well, guess what? It didn't. And so he learned in the monastery that if you do certain things, that would give you, your sins would be absolved and you could have eternal security. Your sins would be removed and you can move into heaven. Well, so one of the things they said is you fast a lot. So he started fasting and he almost starved himself to death on several occasions, trying to absolve himself from sin, and guess what? Didn't work. They also told him if you beat yourself or have someone beat you with canes or whips, then you can absolve yourself from sin. So he said, beat me. I got to get rid of this sin. Beat me. And so they had beat him, almost beat him to death. But guess what? It didn't absolve him of sin. They also said if you go to Rome and you kiss every step going up to the Vatican and you kiss the ring on the Pope's finger, you'll be absolved from sin. So he went to Rome, kissed every step up the Vatican, kissed the Pope's finger. Guess what? still had guilt, still had shame. He was beside himself, didn't know what to do. They said, if you go into the Vatican, there's bones of saints laid out in that. And so if you look upon their bones, then they remove the sins from you because there was not, they didn't do a lot of sin, so they could take some of yours. Okay? So he went in the Vatican, looked at the bones, and nothing happened. Bummer. Right? And then a priest said, hey, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that your sins are absolved. And he started reading the book of Romans, and in the book of Romans it says that it's not by works that any man should boast. It justification is by faith and faith alone. And he received that, and all of a sudden, his sins were gone. He no longer felt any sin. He no longer felt any guilt. He no longer felt any shame. Why was that? It's because Jesus' blood is the only blood that can absolve us from sin. In faith in him and in him alone is the only thing that can remove our sins. And this is what John says here in this passage of Scripture. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess our sins. Receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Very simple, right? So here's the deal. Eternal life begins with Jesus. Abundant life begins with Jesus. Joy begins with Jesus. Sins forgiven begins with Jesus, because Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is life. This morning, I don't know where you stand with God. You may be like Martin Luther, not sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. That may be where you are. God has an answer for you. He wants to give you life. He wants to remove your sins. He wants to remove your guilt and your shame. So we're going to ask our worship team to come forward, and we're going to sing. And as God is moving in your heart, would you please just search your heart and see if there's where you need to be, what you need to do in regards to the sin that's in your life. Father, I come before you. And Lord, I thank you for the promises. I thank you for the treasures that we find here in your scripture. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can be absolved of all sin, not by doing works, but by trusting Christ, because you paid it all. And Lord, we give you praise and glory in them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matt's going to be standing at the back. I'll be here at the front if you need to talk to us about anything.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er.
faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. Hope for grace to trust him more. Hope for grace to trust him more.
Father, may we live out our faith in a living and dynamic way by not only how we live our lives and what we speak, but in sharing our faith with others. And it is in Jesus' name that I ask all of these things. Amen.
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 Amen. The Lord bless thee.
Bless thee
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
his countenance,
his countenance
on thee, and give thee peace. Have a wonderful day, everybody.